Joe Gilmore, rather than being pulled into April's mind, is shown a possible but corrupted future for herself. The entire experience causes April to seize. As the nurses at the clinic take care of her, Mama Amaretta pulls her detective into the hall. Still wearing the goggles, Joe sees multiple weaves of light flowing from different rooms in the clinic and out the front door towards the tunnels. JJ, needing proof of this, sends herself into her own possible future, Founder's Day with Zion and an unbroken family. But before they are able to investigate this mystery any further, Joe receives an invitation from Zeke Emery to the symposium and the Viola Weatherby Memorial Presentation.
A tall, octagonal building rises up amongst the block. It sits on a corner, surrounded by buildings of a lower height that give it a rather demanding visage. The top is tiered, layers built upon layers. Hanging off the back is a beautiful iron construct of a clock, almost half the size of the building itself. Upon the front, atop the large, more than two-story entryway, is a gold finish circular emblem that flashes in the rare sunlight that Nova gets. The Hearthstone building is a center for achievement, hosting a variety of events throughout the year. The symposium is probably their most famous and most well attended. After getting this invitation from Zeke Emery, and after accepting on the behalf of all three of you, Zeke had arrived at Lamplight Investigative Services that day with a rather long limo. You all entered it. There was drinks inside in the back as you drove through Cypher and could see out the windows that people were definitely giving this car a second glance as it passed by. Across the Golden Mile into Nova towards the Hearthstone building. The chauffeur pulls up against the curb, and you can see people milling about, regular citizens of Nova, but you also see, like, the concerted effort of people trying to enter the Hearthstone building. And the chauffeur comes around and opens the door, and Zeke steps out first. He has on a beautiful, like, velvet green suit with both his arm and his leg contraptions that he has kind of attached with leather straps to the suit arm and to the pant leg, and stands by the door and puts a hand down for whoever wishes to come out first.
Although Joe definitely doesn't need any assistance getting out of the car, she still takes his hand and gives him a little grin as she meets his eyes.
Well, thanks for the invite.
It felt like something you would very much enjoy.
Absolutely. And she kind of gives his hand a little squeeze before letting go. Joe is wearing a midnight blue suit with, it seems to be a pinstripe. It's like silver thread pinstripe. And on the lapel, there's intricate embroidery as well. And she's wearing a silver sort of like chiffon high neck blouse, huge belt, and silver boots.
And he helps you up onto the slight curb that there is, and then lets go of your hand and reaches down for the next individual to come out of the limo.
JJ will, with two crutches in one hand to like grab his hand and then reorganize as she gets out. She has decorated her crutches to match her outfit, so they're painted like just a light pink and a light yellow as they wrap around. Not perfect stripes, but they like blend into each other. And then she's wearing a like yellow to pink ombre set of pants that puff out but aren't like big because they just cinch at her waist. And a nice poet shirt that is the yellow continued up into her shoulders where it turns orange. And very big puffy sleeves. And she has a pair of glasses on because Joe told her to dress smart.
As JJ steps out, Zeke nods at you. This is your first time meeting. The first conversation that JJ and Mama both have had with Zeke Emery was in this back of this limo. You didn't know even much of him from Joe outside of what pertained to that case you worked on. So this is all kind of a new person for you. But he nods at JJ and leads her up onto the curb and then puts his hand back down for Mama.
Amaretta will probably step out, Kane first. She is wearing all black, so it's actually like a black corset that is laced up with a long, smooth skirt that hits to about the ankles. And of course has that little slit that it still allows for movement and her classic boots that she likes to wear. But instead of her normal coat, she actually has on instead kind of like, you know, those like goth cardigans where they have like the bat sleeves and they wrap around the neck instead. So it kind of gives like a makeshift boob window. So that's what she looks like, and her hair is tied up in a classic bun with a few strands left loose and a little just nice choker.
He helps you up also onto the curb, and the chauffeur shuts the door, and they don't even speak to one another before the chauffeur walks around to the front door and begins to move the car along. And Zeke turns to all of you and says, "Well, I very much appreciate you joining me today. I mostly enjoy these things, but at some moments they can be a bit tedious, and it is always better to have friends at your side."
"I'm sorry for that one time that we kind of just intruded on your night, so I'm glad that we could be here."
"Well, your friend here, Joe, and I had a rather in-depth conversation that evening that brought things to light that were maybe more important than a slight inconvenience."
Joe kind of bites back a grin and, like, looks up at the sky. Yes. I was hoping that we could have another conversation tonight."
"I'm certain that there will be more than enough time throughout the day and the afternoon and the evening that could be easy for that to happen in."
"Perfect. Brilliant. Shall we?"
He, like, begins to put an arm out for someone to grab onto, but then realizes that there are more of you than he has arms. And instead, he kind of settles for putting his arms behind his back and crossing them on his lower back and walking just a step behind you all as you begin towards the entryway to the Hearthstone building. You walk up to the front entryways where these like two-story high double doors are pushed open and held out. And there's a short line to get in as Zeke hands over your tickets to admittance, and you are allowed in past the doors, past the employees there taking tickets. The interior is bustling. High ceilings, these twisting apparatuses that seem to have no use outside of decor. There are drapes down the wall signifying the event, colored and bordered in silver. Joe, as you walk in, you realize that you feel the same type of feeling as when you walked into Zeke's estate, that there is an oral blocker in place on here so that once you pass through the doors, the outside city is kind of silenced. I think this is a rather new experience for both Mama Amaretta and JJ, who you feel it like you stepped through and all of a sudden the sounds of the city, the sounds that you are used to, completely disappear. Granted, it is filled with like echoing voices and a symphony of like clicking and whirring and gadgets going at the same time, but it is still a shift in sound within the building.
JJ looks very out of her depth and is just trying to like, you know, when your mom is at the store for something and you're following like right behind her, just like, we're in and out. That's kind of how JJ's treating Mama. She's just like, "Where you go, I'm walking. I don't even necessarily see where we're going to. I'm just following you."
What's super interesting here, too, is I feel like Joe would have, but I'm not sure Mama Amaretta or JJ have. The people here are kind of studded out with technology, either as a show of wealth or intelligence, or maybe both. Zeke has his arm and his leg that help him move correctly or better than he could without them. And that is kind of all he needs to fit in with this crowd. The lack of gadgetry means that there is a bit of a notice of you that just makes you stand out from the rest of the people here. Though I think Joe, knowing about this place and also just being Joe, carries some gadgets.
She definitely has the goggles, like, around her neck, almost as a necklace accessory, although she has plenty of those too. But a lot of Joe's gadgetry she tries specifically to keep hidden. It's hidden in jewelry or, like, under sleeves, and it's almost not off-putting, but it feels threatening to see so much of it on such display.
You can notice, too, that while there are people who are carrying around gadgets that are obvious weaponry, a lot of this stuff isn't. A lot of this stuff is just for daily use. You have a pair of glasses that have a light extended from the front of them. You have a watch that clicks on the hour every time it turns. Like, there are just certain smaller things that just having them kind of bring a status to you, even if they aren't the big technology that can exist and does exist. But there are plenty of people freely walking around this place with what seemingly looks like weapons, though no one is wielding them. It seems like, again, it is like a show of, look what I have. Zeke kind of pulls up to a stop in the middle of this atrium area and peruses the place. You see medium-ish sized gadgets, like, on pedestals, on display in glass cases, and people are just kind of, like, looking at them, looking at little ticket cards, almost like a museum in a way. Zeke says, so, to give a little better of a rundown of what these things are like, there are many different rooms, different stages, different auditoriums in this place, and how it works is that certain presentations happen at certain times. This area in general is open to the public. You can see old technology displayed here, as you can see, and he points around. But most of the presentations that we are to see are either on going to be about upgrades or new things to come to Nova. It is all about innovation and how to progress our city in the best way that we can. It is full of people who think that what they have to offer is the best, and some projects presented here will never get funded, despite being accepted to the symposium. It is still a bit of a fight on who is best come the end of the day. For the time being, feel free to walk. There is a bar and a snack bar down there, and he points to the right into a room just off the atrium. To be quite honest, the biggest reason I am here is for the Viola Weatherby memorial presentation. So I shall seek out other things, but that is my... Well, again, that is why I'm here.
I would love to accompany you, if you would like the company.
Any of you may. But it is not for a couple more hours. I believe it is mid-afternoon that it begins. We're here just a little early. It's better to be that than late.
JJ will look to Mama like, will we be there?
Might be best to at least send our condolences to former clients.
I'm sure that there will be a few people among the crowd that you have known, you have seen. It is a place to flaunt yourself, indeed.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say I'm one for flaunting at my age.
I meant more of other people, but yes. If you so like, please.
I'm just, I think, gonna go look at some of the various stuff, and Amrata is thinking in the back of her head to look at some of the industry. What was it?
Cogwell's the mining company.
Yeah, yeah. I want to look into that mining company, and I want to look into the company that runs that aqueduct, if they are there.
I will say that there is a large poster board outside each of the different presentation rooms. So there are, like, some hallways that lead you to these different places that kind of list the events that are going on in those rooms. As you kind of search for these names, Weatherby Industries has one presentation today, and it is that memorial presentation. It is not presenting anywhere else except for that. Cogwell does have a presentation, but it isn't about, like, the new mine. It isn't about crystal. It's about a more efficient functioning mine cart. If you didn't want to attend that actual presentation, I think that would give you enough understanding to know that somebody from the Buckle family is here. And Joe does know someone from the Buckle family.
You're just gonna note all those presentations down. And then maybe take JJ to the snack bar. Mama Amaretta is out of her element. She doesn't understand technology. She doesn't know who to talk to. She could talk to Zeke, but she has a feeling Zeke doesn't. He's a little bit in his feelings right now and bringing up, hey, by the way, I have the cipher of the person whose memorial you're attending. Feels a bit like she wants to do that right now, but that also feels like a very insensitive thing to be doing. So she's restraining herself and eating snacks.
There's like a wild conglomeration of snacks here. You have meatballs. You have like oysters. Multitude of dips and vegetables. It's a very weird conglomeration of like what is easy finger food. There's some like cheeses and meats if you'd so like.
Is there like a fruit plate?
There's not actually a fresh fruit plate. There's some dried like figs and mangoes.
I think JJ takes like what a fancy person would deem an obscene amount of the dried mangoes. And, like, went around finding them on all of the plates and was like, I need them because no one else can have these. This is the only thing I want.
There are, like, little round tables set up in this room. And on each table, it has, like, a collaboration of different snacks on it. You just watch as she goes around the room and, like, off of, like, five different tables, just takes the mango. Zeke gets himself a flute of red sparkling wine.
Joe goes to the bar, but she like snatches one like oyster on a half shell as she's approaching it and like slurps it down, tosses it in a trash can, all just in the steps going to the bar. Whiskey, please. Neat. Thank you.
It is in this glass where the bottom of it is glass over a gear so that the whiskey doesn't spill out. But the glass itself is kind of, like, inverted a bit.
I think Joe kind of, like, holds the glass up to the lights and before she knocks it back. And she kind of, like, half turns to Zeke. So, how have you been holding up?
I have been better than I thought I would be. It is good to be able to distract yourself with things. And I have done so with the help of my husband, and one of my daughters came home, and sometimes taking up space in what space is often empty fills a void you didn't know needed to be filled.
I'm also quite good at distracting myself when need be, but I'm glad, truly, I'm glad you're doing all right.
I wish, selfishly, that there was a way to be more involved in all of this relating to her, but that would mean inserting myself in the lives of her daughters where I do not belong. So I have had to just accept to watch from afar.
Is your daughter here? Or
no, I well, to be quite honest, Joe, I was hoping we could speak again. So I invited you instead.
I would say to send my apologies to her, but I am very excited to be here, so I can't quite bring myself to feel bad about it.
And she has been before, and I'm sure she will be again, so you deserved it. We also had things that I felt maybe mutually beneficial, and it made more sense, logically, to present you with a ticket.
Joe kind of grins. I missed you too.
I'm gonna say I need you to roll to entice.
It's a 10.
Well, you gain a string on him. You know, if there's, please don't take this the wrong way. I'm not making a statement about you or Amaretta or JJ here, but
there is anything you need me to lend my mind to at any point, I do believe that I think of you as a friend, and what I have learned in my years is that does mean something. So if you are to require my aid, I do hope you know that you have it.
Jo furrows her brows together, and it kind of makes her weirdly emotional to hear that, and she, like, pushes that down for a moment. I feel the same. There's so many things I wish I could pick your brain about, but I do have a curiosity that touches on a sensitive subject, so if you're not comfortable, you don't have to tell me, but the Weatherbees have been popping up more recently again in other investigations, and most recently we found something that you might be one of the only people that could understand it.
I'm certain that can't be the case, but...
A cipher? Viola's own specific. Some of it is, some of it we've been able to figure out on our own, but some of it is still mysterious to us, and I was hoping, if it didn't cause you too much pain, that perhaps you could take a look, and there's a lot at stake here, and it truly would be extremely helpful.
Don't need to take a look, I know what her cipher is.
Oh.
I mean, I'll need to take a look to actually work on it, but I know what the cipher is. It was a supposed nonsensical way that we came up with in school to send letters back and forth.
Jo gets brought back to a memory briefly of passing a note behind her in her school uniform and feeling a familiar hand take the note from her. She gets brought back to the present and says,
"Ah, yes, wow, it's an intimate thing to feel like you can talk to someone in a language only you understand."
It was at the time. It's more nostalgia now than anything else. We stopped writing that a long time ago, but she always was the one to call it the cipher. I didn't call it anything particular, so if she has listed something as that, my assumption is it is that. She was always surprisingly sentimental. But that is for another day to sit down and discover. Amaretta, do you like to dance?
I can, yeah.
Well, you don't have to, but there is a room across the hall meant for it, if you would like to accompany me.
Well, sure. Amaretta looks slightly confused and surprised. She just thinks the man is being polite and asking her to dance.
He puts out his hand, as a gentleman does, and takes yours, and leads you from the snack bar room to another room, where they have set up a string quartet. People are in there drinking, listening, and dancing. But that does leave JJ stuffing her face with mango slices and Jo in the snack bar together. I think JJ looked, like, panicked when he asked Mama to dance, like, mouth full of dried mango, like, looking at Mama. Mama doesn't look back at her. She's just like, there goes my plan. And just kind of looks to Jo, eyes wide, like, what do we do next?
I think Jo kind of side-eyes JJ. It's like, relax. It's going to be fine.
What if they call on us and, like, you have to come up with questions in any of these, like, and JJ, I feel like, pulls out, like, a pamphlet. It's like, I don't even know what this says. And JJ's gonna, like, hand you the paper, and it's, like, smudged with, like, something. And it's just been in her pocket. It's crinkled.
It says, Buckles Brass Advanced Ratchet.
It's not school, JJ. They're not going to call on you for the right answer.
Look around. Everyone has, like, fancy shit on.
But look at you. You've got glasses. You look so smart.
That's the scary part. What if someone calls on me because I have glasses on?
Jo will take the glasses off of JJ's face and put them on herself. There. Is that better?
Yes, except you look a little silly because now you have glasses on your face and goggles on your neck. How did the goggles even fit over the glasses?
They're for different purposes. Here, take them back.
JJ will, like, put them in her pocket.
Buckles, brass. Wait. Oh. Oh, no. JJ, I might have to go to this, actually.
Why?
Please
tell me you're getting really into brass and not that this is another one of your exes.
I wouldn't. I mean, that's a strong word, for Benny, but I...
Everywhere!
It's not... You...
It's like they follow you around.
I think this could be to our benefit, all right?
Okay.
I have sources everywhere. Some of them are just...
That is a less strong word than X.
Yes, true. All right. So perhaps we go to this talk and I can interview my source.
Do you think food is allowed out of this room?
Absolutely not. So you should probably put the rest of the mango. Oh, actually, there's no more, is there? Because you have eaten 1,000 pieces in the past 10 minutes.
I'm in a stressful situation.
Joe grabs one more oyster and, like, slurps it down while making full eye contact with JJ and then flicks the shell at her before waltzing in away and towards the talk.
JJ's like gags in her mouth. He's like, it's impressive that you can do that, I think.
Lots of practice.
There's big pockets in this. JJ's gonna try to fold the plate in half and tuck it into one of her big pockets.
I think you can. The pocket does bulge a little bit. Zeke leads you into this room and kind of gets himself into the lead dance position and just begins like a small waltz step in the song that is currently playing. And he says, Amaretta, please, I apologize for my forwardness here. I just wish to speak with you away from the others for a moment of time.
I mean, it's all right, I suppose. What exactly did you want to talk about?
Stranger to stranger, or acquaintance to acquaintance.
He notices that you're a little standoffish. And he, like, moves back a little bit from how he was kind of, like, holding you in this dance position to give some space.
I have a history with the Weatherbys that you may know about, if Joe has divulged that information. And while I hold them very dear to my heart, I do not know the Weatherbys now. The ones that I knew are gone. And there seems to be a common thread of that name, and I am concerned that Joe is not taking enough caution.
Why would Joe need to be cautious?
The Weatherby name is something powerful to wield in Nova. So, if something was to be found that could make them not a friend, consequences could abound, and I don't want her to be hurt. But you seem one more to listen to that than she does. And from the very brief half of an hour that we've spent with one another, it has been quite clear that you are fond of them both, so you felt to be the one that I should warn.
I appreciate the warning, certainly. I mean, Joe's not exactly one to be told what to do, unless it's something she wants to do in the first place. But, I'll try and keep an eye out on her.
I'm not trying to overstep. I am simply a new friend trying to keep people safe.
I understand, and I appreciate you looking out for Joe.
I've watched that family weasel their way out of things that other families would not have been able to.
If you don't mind my asking?
I figured you would ask.
I tend to be nosy for better or worse.
There was an incident in school, and I do believe it was an accident. So I don't think the full punishment of the law was necessary in the moment. But a punishment should have been had, or a fine, or something of the sort. And I watched as some woman walked up, talked with the administration, and Viola walked out of that office without anything on her name. But a lot of property damage happened, and an individual was very badly hurt in the process. And you will not find a single news article about it. Again, it was an accident, a mixture of something that went wrong in the lab, but there was nothing done. I think the fact that no one knows it ever happened, that that family was barely compensated, is the concern I have. But the fact that I knew those Weatherbys, and that still surprised me. I don't know these ones.
I think Zeke would see that Amaretta kind of has her brows furrowed, both in contemplation and feeling a bit troubled. You mentioned a woman walking into that place. Do you know who she is?
She was a lawyer for them, but she passed many years before. Viola did. Of no weird things, of natural causes, but she isn't around anymore to ask questions of.
The reason why we were looking into Viola so heavily is because her daughters, or at least Rose, certainly was interested in finding out what happened to her mother. Now, I'm not disregarding your warning, but I think you do need a bit of insight on these two girls who didn't know their mother hardly at all.
You're right. I don't know them, as I mentioned. My warning could be, it may not have standing.
But it couldn't hurt.
But it is better to be safe than sorry.
Trust me, I understand that.
And I don't have anything against them, but there is a thing of being young and thinking that things can't touch you, and that family can do whatever they want. They have enough money for it. And if you haven't been around that type of money, you have to learn what it is to be.
Well, I can't say I'm necessarily familiar with being so wealthy you can do whatever you want.
Me neither, Amaretta. Different calibers of wealth all around here.
Yeah, I can feel a few eyes on my back.
I'm sorry. I wish it wasn't so.
I can't say I'm surprised.
And kind of pushes back. You're literally in like the middle of the next song. And he just like steps away and ends the dance.
Again, sorry for my forwardness. I just needed to be able to talk in relative quiet.
Is there nothing to be sorry for?
Maybe it would be time to go elsewhere.
They'll just walk off the dance floor.
Joe left the snack bar. Where was she headed?
Towards whatever that flyer was for. Or to find Benedict, either one.
You can head towards the room that was listed on the flyer is where that presentation would be. And as you are walking towards that place, you hear from, like, down a hallway to your left, "Do my eyes deceive me?" Or is that Joe Gilmore standing down the hall from me?
Joe rolls her eyes deeply before fixing her face and turning on her heel. "Benny, long time since I've seen you."
Ooh, it's been a long time since anybody has called me that.
Always a privilege that I abused, but...
"Come here." And he, like, holds his arms out for you to come in for a hug.
Joe does so. I'm gonna say that they're the same height. And so when they embrace, she kind of does, like, pat sort of thing. It feels very, like, jovial.
"Wow, you look nice."
He's wearing a floral suit. It is black with gold flowers over it. And... like, bright blue shoes. You say, surprised.
"You always were experimental with your footwear. That's a good choice."
"You have to add color to the palette somewhere. What are you doing here, Joe, and why has it been so long since I've seen you?"
"Those are two very different questions, but I am here on invitation from a dear friend of mine. Zeke Emery, perhaps you know him."
He hesitates and looks at you, trying to figure out how you know Zeke Emery. "I have met him before, yes. I know her family a little bit."
"Yes."
"I'm not trying to be rude, Joe, but I know what circles you ran in, and it was a surprise when you started running in mine. So how?
"If I told you, you'd think I was making it up."
"Well, I already think you're making it up, so I'm not sure that'd be much of a difference, but fine. Fine. Anyways, you're here to see my presentation, I see."
"I am. I'm quite curious about this new... what is it?"
"Yeah, no, it'll bore you to death. It was, unfortunately, something that my father made me do."
"Well, I'm Happy to see you.
He gets the presentation on the new minecarts, and I get to talk about the shitty tool we used to make them.
Wow, new minecarts. Anything of interest at that one? Perhaps I should go see your father instead.
Well, now I don't want to tell you. Yes, of course, always something interesting with that whole situation. You know it all.
How have you been?
Fine. Good. Busy.
Busy. I've been hearing that the mines specifically have been quite overwhelming, I'm sure.
Been a shit show, quite frankly.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, but was hoping to be more polite.
We don't really need to talk about that.
Perhaps after your talk, we catch up? I'm gonna roll to entice, because that's what I'm doing. I'm gonna spend the string, because I rolled a 6, so I want a 7.
You were always so much more nosy about Cogwell than you should have been. It was weird. Why do you care so much about mines? They're boring. Nothing happens in them.
I think that interesting.
You're not trying to... And he kind of like grabs you and pulls you over to the side of the hallway. You're not trying to get that shit, are you?
Well, I'm sure I don't know what you mean.
Okay, don't fuck around, Joe. I know you're smarter than that. Because if that's what you're here for, I'm not... I don't fucking have anything to do with that.
No, I know. I know.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to... Don't worry. I've been hearing about it. I'm well aware.
Be careful who you throw that around with.
I will. I just want to catch up. I haven't... No, I... Look, I understand. I don't always have the best track record. But look at me. Don't I look healthy? Doing okay?
He very slowly looks you up and down. He stops himself from saying what he was going to say.
No. Now you have to say it.
You look great.
Oh. I thought you were going to insult me.
Ugh. Never you.
I'm very excited for your very boring talk, but...
No, don't be! Excited. It's going to suck!
Well... Is there somewhere else I should go in the meantime? Because I would rather just talk one-on-one.
All right. My talk stopped and looks down at a pocket watch that he has, pulls it out. 3 minutes. I should go. It's only going to be like a 10-minute presentation. If you want to meet me backstage.
Perfect. I shall see you there. Break a leg.
Oh, don't I wish...
I think JJ turned around when Joe, like, left and was like, so, about this rat, and then JJ will go stand against a wall and just kind of be like, I will watch. I'm gathering information. That's what I'm doing. I'm not hiding at this social function.
Well, as you do that, the information that you gather very swiftly is that Arthur is here. Arthur is wearing his orange suit with, like, black velvet lapels, white shoes, glasses, looking very dapper, talking with a few individuals very animatedly, and they seem to be very interested in what he is saying to them. But he hasn't seen you.
Is there somewhere JJ can hide? Is there a pillar, perhaps?
You're kind of behind one. I think there's, like, on the wall, there's, like, the half column that sticks out from it, and you're kind of, like, on the other side of that.
JJ will take her folded-up plate out of her pocket, and now the slightly sticky dried mango, she's, like, holding the plate up so it, like, partially covers her face and continues to eat. Is there anything cool?
A bunch of the stuff that is, like, on platforms, like, behind glass, a lot of it, these are antiques. So you're looking at, like, phones or you're looking at, like, a radio that don't actually seem that old, but in the span of Nova innovation and new gadgetry and hacking, look very, very old. The shifts happen so swiftly that, like, these are stuff that, like, are just in households in Cypher that Nova considers antiques.
Socially acceptable thing is going right up to those and just spending a long time, like, reading all of the little plaques. Does continue to check the door, like, for any sign of somebody that she knows.
You're looking at these different things. You turn your head once, you don't see anybody. You keep looking. You turn your head again, don't see anybody. Keep looking, biding your time.
And as you turn your head once more, you see Arthur stride into the room with Professor Marlowe. And you watch him come into the room and immediately stop as he sees you. And it almost looks like he's about to make a 180 and leave before he realized that that would be socially unacceptable in front of this professor that he admires. And so he says, "Ah, Professor Marlowe, I do believe you know JJ over there, or have met briefly at least at the gala."
JJ has a mouthful of dried mango and will just kind of like eyes as big as they can go, mouth like cheeks like pushed out, just kind of wave and like do a smile but with a mouthful, so it's like
JJ, how have you been? It's good to see you.
Good to see you too. Love your suit.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we have crystals are crazy.
I do believe Professor Marlowe was recently working with Mama Amaretta about some things you found. So yeah, indeed, I've heard some of the results of those tests. Wow, not something I would have imagined.
People are putting them in everything nowadays.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like they should be.
Lots of people in comas.
Great.
Oh. My sister was, but she's not now.
I wasn't just making the joke. It was a bad joke. I shouldn't have made it. But I wasn't in a coma, but I broke my ankle and Joe hurt her head. You remember Joe.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Crutches. Yes. What happened?
Do you know that? Do you know that where the ground collapsed the other day? There was a big explosion. No, it was in Cypher. You wouldn't have heard about it. The ground collapsed and Joe and I were under it.
Because people like to put crystals everywhere. And like we said, they should stop.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wow. You've been, busy.
What have you been up to, Arthur? Or Dr. Marlowe? Anyone who wants to talk that's not me.
Unfortunately, I thought that I was going to be, well, I was busy creating a presentation for today.
Oh, I didn't see you on the roster.
Last minute changes and the like, so I won't be presenting anymore.
Oh, that sucks. We should beat up whoever took your spot.
I don't know who took my spot. The Weatherbys made a decision and I was not involved in that. So I will not be speaking of my work.
Well, you can speak of your work now. I know it's not the same as a bunch of people, but...
No, it's okay. I'm sure you'll hear all about it.
What do you mean by that?
The memorial presentation, that was supposed to be mine. You know, I worked with her on her last few things and...
Well then, but if it's your work...
Well, it's not technically my... I mean, I was her assistant, so it's all under her name, so they can do whatever they like. Don't really have any scientific claim to it.
Don't get me wrong, I don't know a lot about science, but wouldn't the whole scientific claim be whoever did it?
Correct, but, I do believe that her intellectual property did not go to me. It went to her family. So they get to choose what happens to it. And I apparently wasn't good enough. Sorry, Professor Marlowe. Actually, I think it would be best if at this time I introduced you to Dr. Jenkins. I think maybe right now. JJ, it was lovely to see you. Enjoy the rest of the symposium and the presentations. I'm sure I'll see you around.
Yeah,
I'm probably not the person that you want to tell about it, but if you want to tell your side of your work, you are the only person who's ever explained this stuff to me that I understood.
Roll me emotional support.
It's a 2 and a 1, so it's a 4.
JJ, it is much appreciated, but don't take it the wrong way if you're not the person that I want to talk to about this.
Joe will be back also, and she's smart.
Have a great rest of the symposium. Professor Marlowe, let us go. Kind of grabs the professor's arm and turns them out of the room.
JJ, who already felt awkward, thinks about the conversation and just kind of like crumbles to dust internally and finds somehow a bigger post to hide behind.
Now imagine Mama would have left that room and her and Zeke, I think, probably parted ways for the time being. Then she'd see that none of the people that were left in the snack room are no longer there. So now she has to go walk around and find her children.
you watch Arthur rush out of the room, pulling Professor Marlowe behind them. And you watch JJ slowly, like a minute later, walk out of that same room.
Yeah, I'm not gonna ask. I already know.
So, I heard some interesting things that Zeke told me. And now I definitely want to know who is currently in charge of the Weatherby Estate.
It's not Arthur.
I wouldn't think it would be Arthur.
That's the only information I got.
Well, is there a reason why you said that? There's some context I'm missing here. You might want to give it to me.
I talked to Arthur.
I also guessed that, too.
Did he look that bad?
He looked like he was surely rushing to get out of there, you know?
Okay, in my defense, he approached me, which I still don't entirely get because I was doing my best to not be seen by him. But he was very polite and he's very nice and he was wearing a lovely orange suit and he is a nice man.
Okay, JJ, what did he say?
He was going to present something and now instead the Weatherbys are presenting it and he's basically getting boxed out.
So they decided to ask him on something that he knows a lot about?
Yeah, and then I tried to get him to talk to me about it. And then he fled the room, so I'm sure...
I definitely think, knowing that, it's worth looking to see who's in charge of the Weatherby Estate. Because something tells me it ain't her daughters. Because I don't think they know enough to be making these decisions, and someone has to be informing them.
Okay, but consider... Maybe they do, and they want us to think that they don't.
Because I've had a bad feeling about Rose since day one.
I know, JJ. Which is, I suppose, more understandable now, given the knowledge that we've gotten. But I guess I'm remaining skeptical, because I just want to see if there's a third-party influence in these decisions, like a lawyer or something of that kind. Someone that these girls would think to trust.
Or it's the other sister, Delia, and she's got Rose in, or they're together. I don't know. When your mom is that smart, they didn't get away without knowing anything. Also, it looks like they really hurt Arthur's feelings. And I'm going to be honest, I harbor a lot of guilt about that man. And I don't like when other people make him feel bad. Because I just feel more guilty, to be honest.
I suppose that's understandable. I don't know. I've never been in your exact shoes in this particular, but I guess we definitely got to check out this memorial service and see who's up there presenting. I'm sure some people from the Weatherby Estate are going to be saying some things, and so we know who's going to be involved in snubbing Arthur, maybe having access to some other things.
I don't think we can miss it. I am afraid of Crystal Harp Part 2.
Yeah, I also am actually kind of deeply concerned something like that is going to happen again. It seems like the time and place to certainly be doing something like that. Or something maybe even on a grander scale, who knows, maybe the harp was just a test for something bigger.
Are there more people here than there were at the other thing?
Probably, yeah.
Is there a way that we could get into the memorial service room beforehand and see if we can stop a problem before it starts?
I'm usually good at causing problems before a bigger problem starts, but we can try. Joe is flirting with someone on purpose to get information.
Joe makes her way backstage behind the smaller room that Benedict is giving this presentation in and kind of meets him as he comes off stage. He kind of grabs your hand and like swiftly pulls you along and he goes, okay. I'm not trying to fuck you over here or anything. I just have to say this quickly because I really, apparently somebody saw us talking and they don't like it. So here, let me just say this right now. Cogwell does not have full control over the mining system outside of Nova. I don't know who does. I don't think my father knows who does. I think that we just hire people to try to stop whoever it is. But there is some person that, let's just say that if you go deep enough into the mines, bad shit happens.
Okay, sure.
Who is it? Who was upset to see us together?
His eyes just keep darting around to make sure no one is looking at you.
I just got word from a symposium employee. They looked at me very intently and said, Benedict Buckle, you need to stop associating with that woman.
That's incredibly rude.
So that's that. Don't let no one can know this came from me. My name, no mention. No mention.
All right, I won't. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to get you into trouble. I promise. I have no idea who it would be.
In reserve of our past relationship, this is... I'm fine with this. I just, like, no. Mouth shut. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally. Of course. All right. Should I suppose I'll go?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bye, Benny. Very good to see you. You really do look... that's a good haircut for you.
Thank you. You look beautiful as always.
Thank you. Perhaps a drink another time? Never mind.
Outside.
Sorry.
Bye.
Bye.
Turns and like goes through a double doors back into a deeper hallway.
Pardon the interruption, but here's another show we think you'd like.
At last, I have reached the tallest peak in all the world, where the wisest person lives. Finally, I'll get the answers I seek.
Welcome. I am the wisest person in the world. Ask me your question.
What is my purpose in life? What should I be doing to achieve pure happiness?
You must stream Game Master Monday.
Come again.
Game Master Monday, the bi-weekly podcast that plays a new one-shot in a new system in a new setting with a new cast every episode. Listening to their funny jokes and wild stories is the only path to happiness, my child.
Sick. I'm going to go home and binge the whole thing right now.
What a nice kid. Oh dear, he fell off the mountain. Now they'll never know how good Game Master Monday is.
You can find the links to this show in the description box below.
The mists roll across the valley, over the bodies of hundreds of dead, as a large figure rises above the mountains, too large to be anything mortal.
Enter Pocket Bard, immersive audio made easy. With an ever-expanding music library, Pocket Bard has made soundscaping for your TTRPG needs seamless and so, so, so very simple. The easy-to-use app provides you with scenes that include ambiance, weather patterns, quick and easy sound effects, as well as backing music with just a touch of a button. Transitioning from town to a long travel journey? Don't worry. A large selection of the music and soundscapes adjust to your adventures, transitioning seamlessly into the next scene. You'll unlock a wide variety of music for all genres of play so that you can weave an incredible tapestry that'll make playing at your table even more memorable than it already was. Check out Pocket Bard at www.pocketbard.app or head to your nearest app store on iOS or Android to access the magic right now.
Have you been wanting to bring your home games to the next level? Maybe you're looking for the perfect holiday gift for the TTRPG-loving person in your life. Well, during the Hero Forge Black Friday sale, you can get savings as big as the stories you tell. Maybe you're a DM and you want to gift something physical to your players of their player characters in your campaign. Or maybe you're a player and you want to give the gift of an NPC in the form of a miniature. You can save 20% on physical miniatures and accessories, such as their iconic color plastic miniatures, their new, super cute custom acrylic keychains, or their 3D printed custom dice, as well as 50% on digital miniatures and STL files. The sale ends December 1st, so don't delay! Restrictions apply. Head to heroforge.com/sale for more details.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitchertin is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitcherton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Marovich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
You walk into the Viola Weatherby presentation room, and there is security everywhere. There has not been security except for, like, at the front and at certain sporadic places throughout, but there is security everywhere in this room, to the point where it is almost like one-to-one with the chairs in the room and the amount of guards here, which... it's very strange.
You want me to cause a problem before a bigger problem happens, or are we just going to roll with it?
No, I feel like if you try and cause a problem, we're just going to get kicked out.
I can't run as fast anymore.
Psst, hey. And Joe, like, runs down this hallway.
Oh, hi. Wow, this is a scary room.
It's... concerning, to say the least. I don't know why they need so much.
It's the biggest room that you've seen so far throughout this event. It is set up like a theater where it's kind of angled. The chairs are angled down. The stage is probably 2 to 3 times as big as any other stages in the space. It is the main event room. And it looks like, from the posters outside, the only event taking place in this room this evening, or this afternoon, is the Viola Weatherby Memorial presentation.
Should we sit in the front or the back?
Zeke walks in and finds you all kind of deliberating in the back of the auditorium.
Hi. Would you prefer to sit at the front or the back?
I think if we found a little bit back from front, but more in the center, so that we have full view. So not directly, you know, I don't want to be too close, but I want to see.
Zeke, I have a quick question for you. Did you ever meet or interact with Arthur by chance?
I know of the name. The relationship I had with them had started to become less and less secure during the time that Arthur was around, but I know of the boy.
Another follow-up question. I'm sorry for being as nosy as I am. Do you know who might be currently in charge of Weatherby's estate, if not the next of kin? Like, I know with wealthy people, they usually got, like, lawyers for that kind of stuff, or advisors.
I'm sure they do. I've just simply never been under the impression that they wouldn't have left it to their next of kin. In how it would actually work out, it would be Rose, more specifically. If it did go to next of kin, it would be Rose. Otherwise, I'm sure that there's a cousin somewhere that could take...
There's been some strange decisions on the Weatherby estate, from what I've heard. So, I'm just curious... who's making them?
Who is doing the presentation? JJ's like jumping with excitement right now. This is the best she's felt this entire day.
Because it was supposed to... oh my gosh. Because... oh, Joe, you weren't here for this. Because it was supposed to be Arthur, and I had to talk to Arthur. Arthur came up to me. Okay, first of all. So I saw Arthur, and then Arthur was supposed to give a presentation during this time, but then this was added last second, which is crazy when you think about it. This was the last thing that Arthur and Viola were working on together. And so, whoever is giving this presentation directly told Arthur that it wasn't his work anymore, that it belonged to them, that it was their property.
There's a bell that dings out over loudspeakers throughout the auditorium. And you hear a voice come over the speaker that says,
"Please, ladies and gentlemen and other folk, take your seats."
Joe is also, like, kind of leaning over Zeke, like, excitedly talking to JJ.
I also, something very bizarre happened to me. I was going to get a drink with Benny and sort of, like, talk to him about, like, the Cogwell and the mines and things like that. And then after his talk, he comes backstage and says that someone specifically told him to not talk to me.
Why would someone not want to talk to you? You're, like, the smartest person here.
Zeke looks at Mama very pointedly. The lights begin to dim in the auditorium. And Zeke leans over to Joe real swiftly and says,
you all are involved in something that I don't think I know about. You're throwing a lot of names around.
Right, we're part of, I run a private investigation.
No, I know, I do know that. I meant, whatever is this, you're throwing a lot of names around in a very public space.
The lights go out completely in this moment, and spotlights shoot onto the stage, and a curtain pulls apart, and there is a large structure on stage that has a orange sheet thrown over it. And walking onto stage, there are some gasps in the crowd, is Delia Weatherby. And she says,
welcome. We are here today to honor the work of one of Nova's most recently passed. My mother, Viola Weatherby, was a genius in her field. Her work can be seen throughout Nova, making all of our lives more possible to manage. She chokes out visibly a bit. She was slated to present today, many months before her death. And I was surprised, yet honored, to be asked to present in her stead, to give a look into her life's work, and to make sure the city and the world knows what they are missing, as I acutely know what I am missing with her absence. I want to thank ArcTech for having me and for realizing that her impact is memorable and should be remembered. In the last few months, I have reached out to one of Arcadia's own prolific engineering students to help me bring my mother's last project to life. She gestures to the side of the stage, and walking onto the stage is a beautiful woman. Brown skin, dark eyes with a warm surface and unknowable depth, curly brown hair pulled back and held at the back with a white bow. The lights hit the highlights of her makeup and make her skin shine. Her brown eyes lighten just so. She's like a beacon in a white suit. Brown leather vest, leather boots that are held on by these leather straps that reach up around her thighs. There's almost like a tie up the front of her outfit, as there are these circular contraptions. They could be for decoration, or they could be for use, it's hard to tell. She doesn't command the stage like Delia does. She doesn't necessarily look comfortable in a position where everyone's eyes are on her, but she still radiates a confidence in herself, at least. And Delia goes as this woman walks forward. I would like to introduce Melrose Quagmire. My family has introduced a new position within Weatherby Industries, which is the Viola Partnership. We shall, from here on out, choose one student from Arcadia each year. That individual will come to work for our company to develop and engineer what my mother is no longer around to do. To take her idea and expand upon them, making sure her legacy never recedes from Nova. She deserves to be remembered. Melrose's eyes narrow a bit at the harsh stage lights, but looks out among the crowd. It's an honor to be here.
As soon as Mel comes out onto the stage, Jo has to clap her hand over her mouth to keep herself from gasping audibly. She immediately leans forward in her seat, half hiding behind the head of the person in front of her, but also just to get a closer look. She looks so beautiful. She looks so much the same. The darkness of the crowd just adds to this halo effect of her glowing on the stage. So it takes a moment for what is being said to sink in. before she realizes Mel is only up there because she is linked to the Weatherbees now, and how deeply she doesn't know. So she sits back in her seat and kind of sinks down as much as her long legs will let her, and tries to hide in the crowd as she sees Mel's very familiar eyes sweep across the crowd.
Zeke has, like, completely turned his torso in the seat to look at Joe, but doesn't say anything.
When Delia approached me, I was a little surprised. See, I'm new here to this city, not to alchemy or engineering or science or anything of the sort we are all here to talk about. But I am new here, and it... like, I hadn't realized I had made such an impression as of yet. But when we talked, just felt like it was a perfect fit. And while I didn't know her mother, I knew of her mind. Couldn't ask for anything better than the few months that had been afforded to me before today's presentation. And Delia says, well, I will now turn it over to Miss Quagmire to tell you what brilliance my mother was cooking up before she left us. And Delia doesn't completely leave the stage, but she backs up to stand next to this large contraption. And Melrose scans the crowd. Her eyes seem to be adjusting a little bit. I have been given the opportunity to read through many of Viola's past works, though most of them I knew the very intimate details of, as well as her recent work, and even more intriguing, her yet unpublished. The biggest thing I have learned, though, through all of this, is that Viola Weatherby was ahead of her time. She was working on ideas that she was saving for the future because we simply couldn't handle them. I respect her for that above all else. Truthfully, innovation should not come at the cost of progress. She understood that. So today, I have a project that is not yet ready, that does not have a date to be ready, which I know is new for the symposium. This is about new works, new innovations, what we could see on the market next. But not this, and she points behind her. This is to be waited for. I think there's a pause as her eyes kind of meet your group and see just around the head of the person in front of you, Joe, and you watch her mouth fall open and her stumble and hesitate over what she had planned to say next. She swallows hard and then swivels on her feet and throws an arm out, and a couple of stagehands pull the sheet from this object, and you see something familiar. And Melrose turns back to the crowd and says, what Viola had so extraordinarily titled, this is the stabilized chronometric lens. And there's clapping for propriety's sake around the space. And Melrose seems to try to smile, but kind of sees where you are in the crowd and stops again. There are more than a few uses of this that I could think of, but what Viola was hoping for, I don't actually know. Her notes on this do not specify. I could hypothesize, but sometimes that is more dangerous than it is helpful. So, for now, for today's presentation, I'd like to explain the parts that you see before you. And as Mel walks back towards the large object, the chronometric lance, Zeke kind of moves forward in his seat, and he goes, what is she doing? And you see that Delia has climbed up this ladder on the side of it, and is starting to mess with some contraption that you can't see because it's on the opposite side. Their voices are still being projected so that the whole audience can hear, and you hear Mel say, Delia, that's not what we discussed. And Delia just doesn't return with any response. And she continues going. And then she looks out at the crowd and she says, I do know what my mother wanted to do with this. And it was nothing. I have a better option, and I think all of you would be very glad to see it. And Delia presses a button or pulls something again, makes a movement, and you hear a whirring.
You see this big circular contraption begin to slowly spin, and you see like electricity shooting between the sides of the circle, and you see crystals start to light up as it begins to speed up, and the electricity starts to pull in more. Joe, you feel a shock at your neck. It's like quite painful around your whole neck. People start to, in the crowd, start to murmur about what is happening. None of the guards move to do anything. Delia, what in the hell are you doing? What is good for Nova? And as this thing finally reaches its full potential, the entire pair of goggles on Joe's neck shoots out crystal into Joe's neck, and there is a swirl of color that completely takes over your vision, just like a kaleidoscope of crystal color. Joe goes limp in the seat.
JJ will, like, get to Joe to be like, pulse.
The goggles have almost like seared to her neck, and around the edge are like purple crystals that have like...
Oh, but they're not like sticking in a way where it's like knives.
It's like they've burned into around the goggles on her neck.
I think Amaretta might do something a little bit silly, but you know what? I think it's a moment for silly times, and I think as a reaction, because she knows this device is what's causing all this bullshit, she's gonna be taking off her fucking shoe and yeeting it.
The shoe spirals through the air and onto the stage. JJ, as you grasp onto Joe and begin to shake, the world goes dark. But Mama, as you throw the shoe, the world goes dark for you as well, as if the lights in the theater went out. And you walk through the doors into the Talisman Theater, the theater that your sister-in-law owns and runs in Cypher. And it is no longer dark because this place is beautifully lit. It hasn't looked anything like this since a couple years ago when they had a production of the Solar Light Opera. And you see magenta and gold ribbons hung from the ceiling, crisscrossing in patterns just above the heads of the people walking underneath. And you see a square arch set up on the stage, a stage that is laden with golden Alstroemeria petals. And the arch itself is metal, full of gears and clockwork, a tradition in Nova about time, about promises, and how they shift over time but work together always. This series stars Kenzie Tartaglioni as the Game Master, Atlas Matthews as JJ August, Danielle Halen as Mama Amaretta, and April Consolo as Joanna Gilmore, with Michelle Kelly performing our episode recaps. You can help us out by listening and sharing, rating and reviewing, or coming over to our Discord. Also, you can join our Patreon to get access to our episode talkbacks and more. Thanks for listening.